They have to have faith in the Word of God. And the name of our sermon this morning, he's a filthy priest. He's a filthy priest. The sermon comes from the book of Zechariah, the third chapter, and it's talking about Joshua the high priest. They had been in captivity, they were returned. There was a lot of things to accomplish, but a lot of times out in the world, we get a little bit dirty. There's a fire going on. There's a fiery judgment. There's the world. We're in condemnation. And our lives are not like they should be. Our lives are not what God created them to be or whatever. But God has a chosen people. And that's what the word is about. Having faith and trust in God to do what he said he's going to do. And the ability to walk therein in that word and in that belief. During that time, we'll see that there'll be a lot of people that try to prohibit you from believing in God, walking in the way God had designed for you to walk. Also, there'll be a lot of people accuse you and say bad things about you and try to hinder you. And we see here that's the spirit of Satan, the adversary. There are two seeds in the earth, and I teach a lot of symbolism. I tell y'all about symbols and metaphors and try to get you to study the Word of God to be able to distinguish as we're going through the world, because it says tribe of spirits to see whether they be of God. We'll get ready this morning. I was getting ready this morning, and people knocked on the door, and my wife had, was about to answer. I said, "I got it." I was coming out of the kitchen. I said, "I got it." And I went to answer the door, and it was three ladies, and they were out canvassing the neighborhood, witnessing. I said, "Well, I don't really have time this morning. Where are y'all from?" I think it was the Living Faith Church over on 37th Street, they said. And I said, "Well, I don't have time. I'm getting ready for church this morning." I said, "You do know Saturday is the Sabbath, huh?" And they say, "Yeah." And they looked or whatever. They didn't say much, and they said, "Well, where you go to church?" Well, anyhow, we were talking, and I came back in the house after I let them go or whatever. I talked 2 or 3 minutes with them or whatever, and I told them where my daughter went to church at, and I spoke with them a little bit. But she said, "Well, usually there's Jehovah's Witness." I said, "Well, no, it wasn't Jehovah's Witness. I didn't tell them not to have a good day, you know." I said, "Well, y'all have a good day or whatever." Because in faith, in the word of faith, and teaching faith, that's a good teacher. We need faith. Mm-hmm. Now, so far as the unity of the faith and the unity of the spirit, that's a whole different thing. I had made my statement when I came out that I go to church on the Sabbath day. So that's what I was about. And she said, "Well, don't you normally?" I said, "Well," I told my wife, I said, "Well, normally I wouldn't tell the Jehovah's Witness to have a good day, because I wouldn't want them introducing a doctrine that takes them away from Jesus Christ." See, Jesus Christ, he's the object of our faith, and he has come. So in the faith denominations, and like I say, I would love to have a lot of people of the word of faith or different faith assemblies come to our church to be part of our church. Yes. And because there are some teaching, there are some things we don't quite know or understand or don't have right. We see Joshua here. When we read this, let me read that maybe for you in two different versions. Zechariah, the third chapter. And I'm going to read, talk about it from the Amplified Version. But it says, Joshua the high priest, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Amplified said, then the guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest representing disobedient, sinful Israel, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let him set a fire meter upon his head. So they set a fire meter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shall also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. So, we see here, we don't know at what time or when this was, you know, quite the situation. But we see the angel. Now, notice that it says the angel of the Lord. That's a specific angel. That's Jesus Christ. That's our Lord and Savior, the angel of the Lord. Now, it didn't say a angel. It says the angel. And you'll see his appearance throughout the Old Testament many a time. The angel of the Lord. See, that's why a lot of religions and people get off on when they make Jesus Christ have a birthday, because Jesus Christ always was. Yes. Remember, the Son was given, so we can't give him the birthday because he was the only begotten Son, Jesus himself. So we're looking at the Godhead here. There are four representatives here in this council at this time. We see Satan. Satan is the adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the oppressor, opposer. Now, we will have to look at that in the context in which it is, because we can become Satan, the devil. Not the devil, but Satan. In other words, the opposer, adversary, because we oppose one another, or we accuse one another, and that's the spirit of Satan. That's not the spirit of Christ. When we start saying, that's why a lot of times when people telling me what somebody did them and making accusations, you know, I try to get back and try to defend that person that you accusing, that she hate me or they don't like me. I try to get back from that if I can, because that's not of God now. Jesus didn't make slanderous accusations. When you go to talking about your brothers and sisters and things, you a slanderer, you become Satan then. You accuser, you're adversary of God then. Okay, Jesus is there. We see that God the Father, we know God's always there. He's omniscient, omnipotent. But we also see ministering spirits there at that time. Those angels that he talks to in that third verse, when he says, he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. He was talking to the ministering spirits there. Now see, that's why I said we have God here. We have Jesus Christ. But notice that Jesus Christ is the workman. It is Christ that doeth everything. Jesus is the workman. But the power that he works through is through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in us now. That's when it inhabited us. That's why, you know, it used to be called the Holy Ghost. They say the Holy Spirit. But that's why he died, so that spirit would be in us. But they are also ministering spirits out there. Yes. Then, notice in that second verse, he says, and the Lord said, we have to see here that Joshua represents us, the sinful people. He represents Israel, and that's why he says that he was standing in Jerusalem. He was standing for Jerusalem, the church or whatever. So Joshua is representing disobedient, sinful Israel, us as disobedient children of God. See, because we're just like Joshua. If you read the book of Peter, it says he had made us a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. That's what we are, kings and priests. We should rule with Christ and reign with Christ. Without faith, you're not going to have that mindset now. That we are priests of God, that we are standing before God as his priest, and that the only way we can get to where we belong as is that we know the end of the book, that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that from the beginning of the world, from the foundation of the world, God had chosen us to be holy. God had chosen us from before the foundations of the world. And that's why I don't think about my birthday. Because I always was in the mind of God. It was before time God had chose out a family. We are chosen people. That's what makes us peculiar. And he chose us for a purpose. That was a reason God chose each and every one of us. The rest of the people represents those that are not chosen. Those that are not chosen. There are some that are not chosen. There'll be many a call, but only a few chosen. Once you realize that God had chosen you, that he had died for you, that gives you the muster there to fight this fight, knowing you can win the fight, knowing that this thing is fixed. The fix is in. That you might not knock him out in the first round, but you will go the distance. You will be able to go the distance because that's my Father. God is my Father, Jesus Christ. I'm a joint heir with him. That's my elder brother. We got a brother here now. This thing, the fix is in. Joshua is standing there dirty. Excuse me. My first point here is, how many of you have accusers? A lot of times, it's your own brothers and sisters that accuse you. It's your own family that accuse you. People on your job that accuse you. It's people in the world. It's people that are constantly telling you you're not who you are. They are constantly telling you what you've done in your life. And you don't have to contend or argue with those people. Why? Because of faith. You remember I told you I didn't oppose this woman when she was talking about faith? Because what faith tells me is there's no condemnation to those that who are in Christ Jesus. To whatever I have done, I'm not going to let it bother me or hinder me from serving God, not doing my best in Christ. Yes. You know, my son was rattling off the other day. God gave me power and the strength, and I just got up, walked off, and went in the other room. Because as parents, a lot of us have made mistakes as growing up with our children in our lives or whatever. But you can't let anybody say, well, you did this when you was young, or this is the way you raised us, or this is where. Okay, we're forgetting those things that are behind in the past. You know, a prostitute don't go around. Mary Magdalene didn't go around saying, or letting people say, well, this was a prostitute. You remember they said, Lord, if you knew what kind of woman that was, you wouldn't let her wash your feet, you wouldn't let her touch her. Talking about what I was, what am I now? I'm a child of God. That meant Christ and washed me and cleansed me. Forget my former life. I don't care what I did in the past. God has cleansed the slate. See, but Satan will be there, keep on reminding you. Whenever he make a mistake, or whenever you trying to preach or teach God's word, Satan will say, well, what about you used to do? What about nothing? You will stand there and you will do what's right. See, Joseph's brothers was trying to tie Joseph up. And Joseph said, no, they did wrong. Joseph was always, the reason Joseph was doing that, because Joseph was a righteous man. He couldn't get involved with his brothers and was doing. Joseph was a righteous man. People are not going to like you if you're righteous. They're going to hate the righteousness that in you. That's Christ that they're seeing in you. And they're not going to like that. If your neighbors see you are different or you trying to follow God, they're going to always try to plug holes in your religion. It says, then the guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest. And I told you that he was representative of disobedient and sinful Israel, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to accuse him. Now, notice that he was standing at his right hand. One preacher was saying that I told you the story about he was talking about lifting somebody up. He did it with his left hand. I'm thinking on that scripture then, well, this ain't God or whatever. Left hand normally when it's mentioned, that's not in scripture. The right hand is a sign of power. He would say he had lifted up the pastor with his left hand. Well, that was crossed up. That was wrong then. That's why when you talk about Ehud, the left-handed man during the time of Judges that delivered Israel, during that time, God was showing you the opposite of everything was right because people were doing what was right in their own eyesight during that time. But the right hand of God, the right hand is a symbol of strength. If you would hit somebody, somebody try to tie you up, they're going to try to get that right hand. That's your position of power, of authority, that right hand. That's where the power lies, is in the right hand. And so he was standing at the right hand, accusing him. And like I say, if you look throughout the book, who's the accuser of the brother? Who's the slander? God, you see that, Job? He kept accusing and slandering Job. But God let him at Job because Job was there for a purpose and God had seasoned and tested Job. It's Satan's job to get us off course. That's the fire, you know. And Joshua had been through that, been through exile and everything, probably was in an old filthy temple serving God. You know, that's what the saints of God, they're doing. They're coming back to rebuild the desolate places of the houses of David. In other words, the temple was run down at that time. You know, Babylon, they had torn the temple down, and he probably was serving God in an unclean temple, and he was unfit because he had been through the fire. Because God said that's a brand that had been jacked out of the fire. You know, we've had shaky past, a lot of us. We're not perfect people. We done had all types of wrong relationships. We in all kinds of bad situations and things. Yes. Yeah. And people try to use that to say, well, you ain't no better than I am. Yeah, I am, because God didn't cleanse me. He's in his righteousness on me. I'm not in that same mindset you are. So Satan's there to get us off course. He tempted Eve and Adam into disobeying God. He's the tempter. That's his job. Satan's going to be there. And I told you he's a slanderer of the saints. He slandered. He said, does Job serve God for nothing? Let me take everything he has and I'll make him curse you to his face, to your face. So that's part of Satan's job is to get you there talking about your brother with another one of your brothers or sisters or talking about this person or your neighbors or whatever, getting you to slander somebody, getting you to talk bad. Another one of his job is inflicting diseases, sicknesses, infirmities. He did that to Job. He said, skin for skin, if you let me take away his health, then he'll curse you. He took Job, and Job went through a lot of sickness at that time or whatever. You remember when Jesus healed the woman that was bound with infirmities and he said that she had been Satan, who Satan has bound all of these years. So Satan is able to inflict these diseases upon you, but that's why you see the signs and wonders and miracles, because through faith, walking with God, some of these things can be overcome. Notice how I said that. Some, with some people. So, don't say, I say, all illnesses are this, because that might not be in God's plan for you. It has to be applicable to you. See, everything in the Bible is not applicable to each and every one of us in each and every situation. Some people, certain things are not designed for. Joshua was designed, he was the high priest here. So his job was to teach others, and Satan was saying he's not fit, he's not clean himself, so he can't teach or preach the word of God. opposing righteousness. And that's what we have in this nation, those who oppose righteousness and unrighteousness. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And when you suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and you become unrighteous in the things of God and in the things of the world, you become a Satan. That's blasphemy to oppose the truth. That's what they were doing. They was blasphemous when they started opposing Jesus Christ. And that's why he told them, every sin that man do can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When you fight against the truth, those women were very smart this morning. They were silenced when I said that, because those who oppose or talk about the Sabbath, you didn't put the sword on them there. That was the truth. That's the word. Now, you can go back and say the Sabbath was changed or whatever. Now you're in a battle with God. I didn't throw the fight toward you then. See, because the battle is the Lord's. It's not my fight. That's whose battle it is. It's not my fight. Satan also removing the good seed. We see by the parable of the sower, where Satan, the birds of the air, come in and take the word of God, the good seed. See, a lot of us are taught or preached to, but without watering, without prayer, without seeking God and applying or doing the word of God, a lot of us don't know what the world we believe, because we listen to too many preachers and teachers, and we're not firm but got rooted and grounded in that we've been taught, and they're able to take that word from us just by following or listening at the wrong people or things. So that's part of Satan's job, is to take the word of God. That's what he was trying to do with Jesus when he quoted the three scriptures to him. But he couldn't tie Jesus up with the word of God, because he was the word. He was the word made flesh. It's very imperative that you study to show yourself approved, workmen that need not be ashamed. That you be Bereans, that you know what the word of God. That's why you don't have any strength. That's why a lot of people, you don't see yourselves becoming stronger than those people. Over the years, there should be people that come to you with religious arguments or whatever that don't approach you anymore, because what happened, you hadn't put the word on them. You hadn't put the sword on them. Once you put the word or the sword on them, they start not really coming up to you. Remember, that's why they say no man durst ask him no more questions. Because that's what your sword is. That's what your fight material is, the word. The power of the word. So they should begin to respect that word and walk in. Satan's job is lying and instigating men to sin. You remember it says that Satan had put it into Judah's heart. He had put it into Judah's heart to betray God, Jesus. See, Satan is looking for opportunity through television, through your friends, through your relatives. That's why he says your enemies will be those of your own household. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. You have to protect it. Be careful what you hear. Be careful of all things, because Satan's trying to instigate you that way. So the adversary can come in all different guises. He preys upon men. P-R-E-Y upon men. You become his prey. He's walking around as a devouring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. See, when the council was meeting and God says, "Whence comest thou, Satan?" He says, "From walking up into, through and through forth the earth." He was seeking someone to trap. He's a liar, he's a killer, he's a murderer. And he's seeking, he does his job thoroughly. Mm-hmm. Satan is very thorough at his job. But notice that Joshua couldn't attack Satan here. If you read the book of Jude, Michael the archangel, when disputing with Satan about the body of Moses, durst not issue a railed accusation against it, because it wasn't Micah's fight. It says, Micah said, "The Lord rebuke you." And we notice here that it was the angel of the Lord that rebuked Satan. When I can go tell somebody, the Lord rebuke you, or rebuke this person or that person, they might listen, they might not, or whatever. But it's different if God rebuked them. See, Jesus stood up in the boat and he rebuked the wind. He says, "Peace, be still." Once God does something, it is done. You can't stop that. You can't get around it. And the angel of the Lord stood against Satan. That's why I say, you want to put the battle in such array that it's the Lord's battle. If you hold your peace, victory will be yours, because it's the Lord that they're fighting against, not you. You don't want to put yourself out on Front Street there where you're not hidden in Christ, that you're out there. And that's what I was telling you about the brother that I know that comes visit us sometime at the church through and for, and he was calling me and he was trying to talk about the Sabbath and trying to talk about Jewish religion or whatever. He's fighting a losing battle because he don't belong to a church. There's a lot of people out there that don't belong to churches, even though they're talking about God and these are godly things that they're saying. They're still opposing God because they're not obedient to God. If Satan can get you out of the church, condemning the church and people out of the church, but saying that Jesus died for you and that you believe in Jesus, you're walking billboard for Elijah, because you don't believe him or you'd be walking in Christ. You'd be right there amongst the brethren. You wouldn't be fighting that long battle by yourself. Now if I see, can I keep these in a certain way? Like I say, it was not a question of whether the accusation was true or not. Look at verse 3. I'll read that in the Amplified Version. It says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy, nauseatingly vile garments and was standing before the angel of the Lord." In listening and going over this week, as many other preachers said, they not go. Say it wouldn't be too clear to say what these garments was or how they was, but you know what the scripture says, that all your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what kind of rags we're talking about. Your righteousness, that what you determined to do, it is filthy. Your life, what you've done, your accomplishments for God, all that's filthy. It wasn't a denial of whether Joshua was clean or not. We understand that, like I said, that's why I said I left my son, I left other people. When people telling you what you do or how you live it, it's not a question of whether they're telling the truth or not. That's not the question. The question is, are we being obedient to God? Joshua was doing his best to serve God with what he had. A lot of people might say that if your church don't have this, if you don't have a proper arraignment or attire, you don't have $1,000 custom made suits, you don't have all the nice vehicle or cars or whatever, it's not outward. See, we're looking at a physical clothing. They were looking at Joshua physically. They were looking at something that you could see, but faith is what you can't see. Faith is the unseen. It was Joshua's heart that we were looking at. It was that Joshua was chosen. That's the second point. Saints of God. Saints of God. He was a saint of God. You remember I told you he was chosen from the beginning of the world. We were chosen from the foundations of the world. It's just a matter of God waking us up to consciousness, quickening us, making us alive to realize we are the children of God. Realizing that he had given us of his spirit, when he brings us to consciousness and clothes us and put us in a right state. It says, "Then the guiding angel showed me Joshua, the high priest, representing disobedient, sinful man and sinful Israel, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan, the adversary, standing to his right hand to accuse him." And what happened was, he spoke to those before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. And he said to Joshua, see, I have caused your wickedness to be taken away from you. So we know that the wickedness, the unrighteous, all these things were there. He says, I've caused them to be taken away from you, and I will clothe and beautify you with riches of robes of righteousness, of forgiveness. So we see here that it is the work of Christ to clothe us in his righteousness. In other words, your little fig leaves not good enough. Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves, but Christ says he comes and God provided skins of clothing for them. He provided a covering for them. We have to be in Christ. We can only walk in God's word and in God's way. We can only do that God comes in and sets the stage for. We have to be covered by his blood. That's the only way. That's why he says he's the truth, he's the way, and he's the light. This is the work of Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we look in the book of Hebrews, I told you about the Godhead and those angels that was around him. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, now these are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, in the Amplified, it says, therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for the people who will inherit his salvation. So these people, the angels and the messengers of God, and in some instances, that's why I told you we have to look at the symbolism of it, that preachers and the messengers of God, also, if we look in Revelations when it says, unto the angel of the church at Pergamos, to the angel, in other words, to the ministers of the church, they are ministering spirits that minister to you, because it is impossible to be saved without faith, and faith cometh by hearing. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know the gospel of that had to be preached to Abel, because by faith it says Abel offered up a more perfect sacrifice than Cain. So Adam had his daddy had to tell him what was right, the right way to make a sacrifice. God said he offered by faith to God a more perfect sacrifice. And we know faith cometh by hearing. In hearing the word of God. So it was what Adam had told him that was right. So we see here that Joshua was listening when he told him this, in that the fivefold ministry, I say, is for the edification of the saints, that we be a church without a spot or a wrinkle. That's why I said that person outside the church can't be sanctified. They can't be perfected in Christ, because sanctification is a process whereby we're washed by the word. Yes. We're cleansed by the word. Yes. Taking heed to the word of God, being a doer in the word of God. And that's why Jesus said, you are my disciples if you continue in my word. Amen. Part of that word that preacher necessarily will tell you is forsake not to assemble together of yourselves. Part of that is they go preach and teach unto you, because we will see later on that these elders, these people that was with Joshua, these people that was around him. I was thinking about y'all this morning. Deacon Hubbard normally called me around 6:30, 6, 7 or something like that to tell me how it's going and they've gotten things together. The people around me are my hands, arms, and feet. Hopefully we get things back on track this month or whatever, some other things. But financially, the preacher can't do it himself. And that's why I didn't scold the women this morning, because I say, well, I want my members out there on whatever days going around telling people about the word of God, trying to win people, trying to get them into the church. It's a many a year that y'all stood with me, that y'all paid tithes and offerings, that y'all gave above and beyond of y'all normal income, that at least once a year you give a complete offer. I mean, a total of all you have. And that's a great help. So he says, the branch, he says, now listen, Joshua, you and your colleagues who are sitting in front of you, where are y'all sitting at? He says, you who are sitting in front, indeed, they are men who are similar of what is to come. For behold, I'm going to bring my servant the branch. In other words, all of us in here are looking for Christ. The people that was with Joshua, see, at this time, Joshua, and it was the Zerubbabel that was the governor at that time. God had made this talk to him in the book of Haggai and some of the other books, these promises to Haggai and Zerubbabel, because they were rebuilding the temple of God. Now, like I said, it wasn't magnificent like Solomon's temple. But see, I have to look at the people before me. God's going to glorify y'all one day. What y'all have to realize, don't let people talk you out of these things. That y'all have a crown that you can rejoice, that one day you could jump up and run and leap for joy.
Yeah. Amen.
That you'll run and not be weary. But look, you have to be doing this. Now, he's not talking to people that are trying to fool God. Mm-hmm. He's talking to people that's actually in this battle. You understand that are doers of his word, because, you know, I've been telling you about the church. We have all kinds of everybody in the church now. So it doesn't apply to just hearers. It applies to doers. And that's what he was trying to get to Joshua there. That when he says, I've caused your wickedness to be taken away from you, and these robes that are given to you, this was a process. And in this process, I tell you, we have to join in with God when he clothes us with his righteousness. You see, because, where are we at here? Let me get back to Romans. I'm trying to find this. In the book of Romans, when he tells us that there are certain wounds that he justifies, no one can stop us then. What shall we say then to all these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Now, where is my opening scripture that I read? Romans 8 through 29. Romans 8, 29 through 31. For those whom he foreknew. Who are we talking about? Huh? What I told you this morning, it was the saints of God. That's why I say, you can keep that frame of mind and mentality and want somebody to celebrate you. That was one of the questions on, I think, they were talking about it on Criminal Minds, that the early church had that battle against people who wanted to come in the church. And people always talking about their birthday because that puts them ahead. You know, that's a day that brings glory to them, that shines the light on them. But see, in that frame of mind, that lets me know that there is something lacking. It doesn't say that you're not a child of God. It's just that you hadn't grown to that point to realize that that's something that, man, that's another different state of mind. You don't see the people in the Bible celebrating birthdays. But listen at this. He says, for those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand. If we read it in the King James, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image, that they might be among the firstborn of many brothers. In other words, as he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in the womb, Jeremiah. I formed you in the womb. So it's no way your mother was going to abort you. It's no way that you not be given in birth. That's why he tells the women that you shall be saved in childbearing. You have to see that God is sovereign, in that when God birthed you, there was a purpose that he birthed you into this world, and that he's been bringing you all these years. Now that he plucked you from the fire, that brand that's been plucked from the fire, Now you can go on and do the purposes of what God had called you for. You've been fighting these battles all this time, but you didn't realize God was on your side, that God was your father. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have the battles, that you're not going to go through the fire when God plucks you from the fire. But you'll realize now, as Shadrach, Meshach, you'll realize that the Son of God is right there in the fire with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. It says, he also predestined to be conformed to his image. He clothed him. In other words, we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. We're going to look just like him. Ultimately, sharing his complete sanctification. We're going to pull off the old man. We're going to pull off lying. All of the works of the flesh, all those things that I told you were like Satan, he's not going to be able to accuse you of those things anymore. I once was that, but now I'm not, because now I know who I am and whose I am. And that don't have any power over me anymore. Pull off all these things. While they are clothing you, you remember I said when you're being clothed, you have to also pull off clothing to get dressed. So pull off the old man. Put to death lying. Stop lying. If you realize, I just have to accept the consequences of what's going to happen, but I'm not going to lie. But Satan will make you lie. Well, you know what's going to happen if you tell the truth. You know you have to do this. In other words, those are the works of the flesh. We will have to stop obeying Satan and start listening at his other voice. The ministering spirits who say, this is the way. Walk therein. Meditate on his word, day and night. The words could be talking to you in your sleep. You're not going to be able to rest, because God's giving you his rest. And in that rest, he gives the saints rest. But he's talking to them. He's leading them. He's reorganizing your mind. He's transforming your mind to where all these things that were bothering you, he's going to give you peace. He's going to give you joy. You're not going to have that trouble. Look, you're not going to be depressed. Nothing's going to depress you. All these things people are going through and worrying about, well, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. That's what Job says. Just hide me in the grave. But one day I'll stand before my God. You have to do what God had equipped you to do and stop being so fearful and scary and cowardly in this world. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So Joshua was put in a state of justification. In other words, Christ, who's the judge, who's the advocate, who's everything, God had put everything in his hand. He had put him in a right standing with God. But not only that, he clothed him with his righteousness. Now he has to go on, and Christ has to be what? Formed in him. That character has to be formed in him. He's been forgave and cleansed him and covered his sin, washed away his sin, but now he has to form a character in him. Yeah. That's what's wrong with the people nowadays. That's what's wrong with the churches, the nations. They lack character. The character is not there. People lacking character. Then they don't have the image of God, the likeness of God. They have to be in that image and likeness of God. And the Savior is the one who does this for us. Man, I've got these all out of whack here. Point three, my last point. The Savior, the angel of God. The angel of God. Jesus Christ, our intercessor. He intercedes for us. And he interceded for Joshua. Satan was accusing Joshua. And the angel of the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So that's when the accusations stopped to the point where it didn't bother him anymore. It didn't bother Joshua anymore, because he knew he had an advocate when he heard God. Have you heard God? Have God came into your life and started to speak with you and lead you and guide you? Have you received the peace of God? If you hadn't received that peace and spirit, that's why he says, what must we do to be born again? It says, repent and believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you have to turn from your ways. Joshua had to turn from what he was doing. He had to turn from his ways. Job, he was saying, only if there was a mediator between me and God. If there was an intercessor, somebody that could stand between me and God. You see, Jesus Christ is that mediator. See, a mediator is somebody in the NBA and the NFL. The mediators in there, they're former players. They're people who know, because without being going through these things, you can't mediate for the people that don't know what you're going through. See, Jesus Christ, he's been a man. Jesus Christ has walked the roads that we've walked. He had brothers that didn't believe in him. None of Jesus' brothers believed and followed Jesus. Jesus had the religious leaders and the government crucify and kill him. Jesus has been misunderstood when he's tried to do good for people. You ever done good for people and they misunderstand you, or they turn around and hurt you worse than anything in the world? You see, Jesus knows how it's that. See, that's why he's our mediator. He's the intercessor. So that's what we need. We need an advocate. And he's that advocate for us. He's the one that pleads our case before God. He pleaded Joshua's case. He was the intercessor that says the Lord rebuked you. The book of 1 John, 2nd chapter, in the first verse says, Christ is our advocate. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's laws. You understand that? We able to not sin and violate God's laws. We're able to do that. That's why I say we have to be walking in that word. He says, and if anyone sins, so we will sin. You see what I'm saying? You will do things wrong. You will have those things when you sin. It says, if we sin, we have an advocate, one who intercedes for us with the Father. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the just one. The Father's will in every purpose. He said, Father, I died for that one right there. That's one of mine. His sin's been imputed to me. He's walking in my way. And I'll send ministering spirits. And that's why I say, when we pray and we plead to God to get right with God, and we praying and fasting, and Jesus seeing us humbling ourselves, he says, any man pray and humble himself, he is going to do something. That's why I say the consequences and things that's coming in our lives, we have to see them coming from God to get us back on course. I was watching, you know, the transporter, is it? Transporter. And he was driving, and he had this car, and he had a bracelet on. And he was supposed to get to this destination. It was a destination that the bad guy was trying to get him to. And he kept getting off course and trying to get that bracelet off. And they had some kind of computer chip or whatever. And when he got off course, they would send some guys there to beat him up. They weren't trying to kill him, but they would put some hurt, try to put hurt on him. Whenever we get off course, God may send poverty in our lives. He may send sickness in our lives. God chastens us. We know that if something's going on in our lives, we need to examine our lives. Nothing's wrong with God. Nothing's wrong with his word, but he's trying to keep us on course. That's why Joseph, he was being abundantly blessed, but when Potiphar's wife came to him, he says, how can I do this and sin against God? He didn't say, how can I sin against Potiphar? Or, how can I do this and sin against God? Yes. See, that's why David didn't realize till after he had did the deed. When he did the deed with Bathsheba, that's when Nathan came in and told him about his sin, and he said, I've sinned against you, Lord, and you only. So what happened was that caused David's house to be cursed. The sword would never leave David's house. So we need to know God's word and be doers of God's word, so as not to bring this into our lives, our children's lives, and everybody's lives around us. Because we contaminate the church. We contaminate just like Achan. Everybody in his family died because of his ignorance. So we have to walk the straight line. We have to know what God's word requires. We have to be doers of God's word, because God watches and guards his word. He's our intercessor. Listen at what the intercessor says. Verse 6 through 7. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, that is, remain faithful and perform my service, then," if you what? "If you walk in my ways, if you perform my service, then you will also govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you free access to my presence among these standing here." So we have admonitions there. We have conditions now. What we have to do. What is that, as I just preached to you? That he'll walk in his words, obey his commandments. In other words, don't be disobedient. Take heed to the word of God. See, all these promises come along with that. And if the intercessor, that advocate is with us, if God be for us, whom can be against us? Whom can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? He's going to give us all things, and he just promised, if you would do these things, I'll glorify you. I'll bring these promises into your life. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Because it's God that justifies. The judge that you're talking to, that's his son. Those are his brothers that you're talking about. It is God who justifies, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right relationship with himself. So if you know you're right, don't let nobody tell you you're wrong. Don't let nobody tell you all these things. You have God's word. You have God's promises. And if you have those things, who is the one that condemns us? Who can condemn us? Christ is the one who died to pay for our sins. And more than that, he was raised from the dead. And now he's at the right hand of God, interceding with the Father. That's why we pray. We pray to him. And he says, any man that pray to the Father in my name, we can boldly come before the throne of God. Now, who will separate us from that love? I'm not going to let anything and anybody in here, anywhere else, separate me from the love of God. No affliction, no heart. Don't care what come into my life, I'm still true to God. I'm going to be true to God. We're going to be true to God. Now, we had difficulty this week. We didn't have service through the weekly service. And it upset me terribly. Those things going to happen. Those things will. But it's not going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing. So how can we conclude this, Joshua? You're standing there. For God knew in advance, and he chose us to become like him. He knew that the ones that he had chosen wasn't going to give up because he was putting his spirit in them. You can tell the true children of God, they're not going to give up. They don't have it in their blood. It's not in their nature. Because they're pulling off that old nature, and you can see them pulling off that nature. Those are the ones that inspire you. Those are the ones that you can see God working in their life. Those are the ones, as he says, as the branch, that he was going to glorify and magnify them. Amen. And you can feel that power in that living word of God. Yes. You can feel yourself being washed and cleansed by the word. You get weak when you don't study the word. You get weak when you can't come to church. Did you feel it this week when we missed those days? Do you feel it when you're not doing something that God tells you to do? In the years that's gone through, have you been in any financial difficulties that God hadn't pulled you through? You might have misspent something and the correction comes in. You know, that wasn't God's fault. that was my fault? How many times as you grow in God, you don't have to beat everything else to the bank, because God's going to cause your cup to overflow.
Thank you.
God's going to cause it to be able that you could help others. I seldom go and do other things or whatever. My wife seems, her cousin called and said, "Will y'all come in a family reunion or whatever?" I don't know. We missed all those things or whatever. But my wife kind of perked up because she had grew up with this girl. She had grew up with her. That was like a sister to her. And she was happy, and her spirit was a little bit different. Her daddy called me and talked to me, and this morning called me. Said, "Well, yeah, we come, we'll be up there, whatever." See, because I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't hate to get this and that." But my daughter called the other day and said, "Oh, why you didn't tell me about the family reunion or whatever? I want mama to go or whatever." Quick, said, "They clean the car out. Clean her car out. Fill it up with gas." I said, "Y'all go. Please go." My son the other day said, "Dad, why are you this and that?" And he won't. See, God causes things to come into your life that you couldn't imagine. And like I say, I don't normally do, but these things lift your spirit. God's always there. See, when Jacob went to sleep there in Bethel, and he woke up that morning, and he had had that dream of Jacob's ladder, he said, "The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." God's been always with you, but you've been so busy running, you hadn't taken the time to smell the roses. That bush was burning. Probably, I don't know how many times Moses passed by that, but when when he stopped and looked over at it, is when he seen it. You know, if we would slow down, God is right there, the author, the finisher of our faith. That no good thing he's holding from you, that you're getting strong. And Joshua, he didn't say these things. Joshua didn't have to open his mouth, because the Lord fought those battles. You resist the devil, he'll flee. God's going to fight your battles. He says, "If I will just hold my peace, victory shall be mine."
There you go.
Go around fussing and fighting with nobody. Stop all this. A servant of God mustn't strive. It's the battle is the Lord's battle. Stop fighting against these people. Bend your knees. Bend your head. Humble yourself and pray to God. Let your request, let your prayers up again. You know what? You'll see yourself praying for all of the things, little things, not just big things, but little things. Everything you do, you'll bring the Lord along with you. The Lord will be right there with you. You will bring him into everything, every conversation, everybody's house you visit. You're not going anywhere without praying. You're not doing anything without saying, "Lord, go with me." If you're not going, that's what Moses said. "If you don't go with me, I'm not going. If I can't bring the Lord, I can't go." Don't ask me to go nowhere I can't bring God. And a lot of people be sitting around and saying, "Well, man, you bringing religion into it." I tell you about that guy at CVS the other day. "Well, look, if I can't bring religion into it, I'm not going into it. Because I am religion. I am God." You see what I'm saying? God is me. We can't be separated. If that's what Jesus said, you need to get to that point. Now, don't take it. If y'all hearing this over on sermon audio or anything, I'm not like Satan saying, "I am God." What he's saying is, if you've seen me, you see Father. In other words, I'm not going to deviate from God's way of thinking or whatever. When I do something, it's not my will being done. It's wicked. Now, if I've done something and I confess to that, that's why it says, "If any man sin." Because we're not looking at it. He who is born of God sinned not. That's what it says. You have to have that mindset that you're walking righteously in Christ Jesus. They get mad at the Word of Faith people when Kenneth Copeland, when other people were saying, "Look, you need to get that embedded in your mind that you are the sons of God and that you are God's son, and you need to start calling the shots. Stop letting other people call the shots."
Right.
If you got that authority and you go home, tuck tail when your wife says something. You tuck tail when your friends or brothers or somebody say, well, what God is you serving? You need to be strong in the Lord. That's what Peter was. He was bold. And Joshua here, they stood. We need that boldness to know whom we serve and whose we are. He has stamped us and put us a seal on us. He said, I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to bring you forth. When you bring that shining light out there and shine that light in the face, this is the God I serve and I'm proud to serve it. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,